Blog Talk Radio.
There's a saying that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. Well, they should include hard drive failure as well. You can ensure your data is safe by using Maximum Archive's online backup solution. By securely backing up the Maximum Archive servers, your data is protected from fire, theft, or simple hard disk failure. Don't let your data go unprotected. Sign up for Maximum Archive today. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout time and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign Newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Gossip here from Gorilla Radio, asking you guys to tune in Monday and Wednesday night after the Proof Negative Show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio, the only network on the web that freedomizes your freedom. And please, people, do not believe the hype. We are not both cynics on Gorilla Radio.
Wait, you're the cynical one, not me. I'm the realist here. Come on, Cam, you know everybody loves you, even though you're the biggest cynic out there.
Hey, now, Austin, I was talking about you.
Wait, no, we're talking about you. You're the cynical one.
I'm
the realist.
Not the cynical one. You're
the cynical one. Come on. Everybody knows you're cynical. Oh, yeah, baby. You know what time it is? It's time to get your freak on with your host, Max Casey, right here on the Black Market Liberty Show, Mondays at 7 Central.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Shabbat Shalom, and welcome, Saints of the Most High God, freedomizers, family, and friends, to the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministry Sabbath Show.
Forever, author of salvation.
saints of the Most High God and His Christ, freedomizers, family and friends. Blessings, Shabbat Shalom to each and every one of you. All is well. We thank the Lord that things could be better, but we realize that things could be so much worse. And therefore, in the state that the Lord has us in now, we learn to be content. Amen. Amen. According to the word of God. All right, brothers and sisters. We are being interrupted by Sister Vicky. Says she's making potatoes and she can call in now, but she'll mute herself and then she'll come on when she's finished. Okay, she waited so long. She always waits till the program starts before she before she eats. Bless her heart, but we love her. All right, before we go any further, brothers and sisters, let us go into prayer. Servant Emmanuel is nursing a toothache, but we're going to go on anyhow. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, your Christ, who died on the cross on Calvary, who went and defeated death, hell, and the grave, and rose on the third day, then ascended into the heavens, and is now seated at your right hand, even as we speak, making intercession for us. Hallelujah. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Father, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, dear Lord, our daily bread. Father, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Father, but deliver us from evil. That thy will be done, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Hallelujah. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We bless you, Joseph. We pray for all of those that are in the hospitals and in the nursing homes, those that are in the behind prison walls, in the shelters, and Father God, we pray for the family, we pray for the children, we pray for marriages. Father God, we pray for the sick and the afflicted, those who are bound. Father God, we speak life into them now, O God. Father God, let Satan release your children right now in the precious name of Jesus, that you will be glorified through our lives, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory and thanks, for you're more than worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Thank you. right, brothers and sisters, this week we have this week's two-minute warning, and we're going to get right into that, and then we'll come back with our scriptural text for today. And now from the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, this is this week's two-minute warning with John Stone Street.
Should Christians be involved in politics? Should they vote this November? I say yes. I'm John Stone Street, and this is this week's two-minute warning. When Chuck Colson landed that dream job in the White House at age 37, it seemed like the sky was the limit. He had an office beside the most powerful man in the world, and President Nixon liked Chuck because he could get things done. He could organize political movement. In fact, he was so good that Chuck got caught up in all the scandal and the corruption of the Nixon White House and was implicated in the Watergate scandal. With that implication, the political illusions were gone. But it didn't mean that Chuck stopped being involved in politics. And that came despite the fact that with Chuck's felony charge, he lost the right to vote for almost two decades. But Chuck realized how limited political success can be. He was no longer a utopianist, thinking that things could be solved just by politics alone. He worked to change the culture. But that doesn't mean that he thought politics weren't important at all. And with Chuck's life, we realize there's two ways to miss the biblical understanding of politics. One is to be a utopianist and to think that all problems are political. And if we just could get the right guy in the White House, we could just get a Christian to be in the White House and Christians to take over Congress, then things would be perfect. That's not what the Scripture teaches. There's no such thing as a utopia on this earth. On the other hand, though, it seems like some Christians are captured by this cynicism, as if Christians shouldn't vote at all because, you know, politics is downstream from culture, so let's work on culture and ignore politics altogether. Look, politics is downstream from culture, but politics really matters. And Chuck understood that. And that's why even though when he couldn't vote, every year when it was time for the election to come around on breakpoint, he encouraged Christians everywhere to vote. In fact, he saw it not only as an opportunity, as a privilege as an American citizen, but as a responsibility. And it is a Christian responsibility to vote. So why was Chuck so convinced that it was every American Christian's responsibility to vote? Three reasons. Number one, we're Christian, and Christianity is more than just our personal private faith. Christianity has to do with every sphere of human existence. And politics has something to do with loving our neighbor. Loving our neighbor as Christ's command is more than just loving them. It's doing something about public policy, which deeply impacts their day-to-day life. Secondly, Chuck thought we should vote because not only are we Christian, but we're American. And as his colleague Richard John Neuhaus once said, when he met God, he expected he would meet him as an American. Now, what did that mean? He wasn't talking that Americans were superior. It's just that humans are from a time and a place, and we're from America. And America gives us this opportunity to be involved in the political process. We have a gift that God has provided that many other people in many other cultures don't have. Their vote doesn't count. Our vote does, because it's the culture that we've inherited. It's the country that we've been given, and we have a responsibility to take care of it. And the third reason, because we're American Christians. And so the privilege to vote becomes the responsibility to vote. Christianity is not just about not doing wrong. It's about doing all we can. Scripture says, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. And so whenever we have the opportunity to act, and America gives us that opportunity when it comes to voting, we have a responsibility to act. All of this is part of our civic duty, not only as Americans, but as Christian Americans. And I'm excited to announce that the Colson Center is releasing a four-part study on civic responsibility. Come to the Colson Center to find out more. For the two-minute warning, I'm John Stone Street.
Amen. And as American Christians, we should exercise our right to vote. But in this election, brothers and sisters, I do not see a choice that a Christian of good conscience can vote for. I mean, we have on the one hand the administration that is in there now, which is as we see Muslim and totally against the things of God, as we see with the backing of abortion and the backing of same-sex marriages and what have you. So there's no way in good conscience a Christian can vote for that administration. But then, on the other hand, we have the incumbent that is trying to achieve White House status, who is a Mormon, who has the beliefs that Satan and Jesus were brothers. It's okay to beat your wife. And that the Almighty Creator took a physical form and came down and had sex with the Virgin Mary, which is how Christ was conceived. Now, brothers and sisters, that doesn't sound like either one of those would be right for a Christian to vote for. Me personally, I'm not going to vote. My vote was for Ron Paul, and if I go down there, that's who I'm going to write in, is Ron Paul, because trying to vote for the lesser of two evils, ultimately you are still voting for evil, which is not Christ-like in any way. All right, so now our scriptural text from today, we're going to read from the book of 1 Timothy. The Apostle written this to Bishop Timothy, who he installed at the church of Ephesus in Ephesians. And let us start at the first verse. We're going to read a few verses, probably to the 20th, something like that. All right. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed the good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the kings of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. They do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, there are some key points in here. Of course, the warning against money, and which we know that the Lord spoke on continually. But the key one is verse 6. Verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Here again, now, this is where people will tell you, well, who are you to judge and what have you, and, you know, let God do that. And so they will continue to be around these people and welcome these people and what have you, and no one is protecting the flock. Brothers, that is not of God. There are many instances in the Word of God that we are told to withdraw ourselves, to separate, be these separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto me. You cannot go along with sin and be counted among the sinners and think that you're going to be pulled out separate. For if you go along with their sin, you're just as guilty. For silence in the face of evil is evil itself. We need to keep these things in mind, my brothers and sisters. All right. And let's see. Okay, we'll go into this week's first break point, and then we'll take our commercial break. Stay tuned and be ready to call in. Our call-in number here is 347-324-3704, and we'll have our topic of today as soon as we return. Stay tuned to the Freedomizer Radio Network. You're listening to the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries Sabbath Show.
The under God part of the Pledge of Allegiance has come under attack lately. So it's more important than ever that your child understand why it's there and what it means. Stay tuned to Breakpoint.
From the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's Eric Metaxas with Breakpoint.
Most students begin their day at school by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. But how many know what it really means, especially the phrase, One Nation Under God? Many Christians rightly feel that public schools turn a cold shoulder toward anything related to America's Christian heritage. Yet they overlook the daily recognition in our schools of one of the most remarkable expressions of American thinking, that our unalienable rights come from God and not the government. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God?" He reflected this idea in the Declaration of Independence when he wrote, quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Eric Buehrer, founder and president of Gateways to Better Education, points out that the idea of our freedom coming from God at the time of America's creation is central to the American experience. Indeed, Chuck Colson called those famous words from the Declaration the American Creed. And as Buehrer writes, quote, rooted in Christian history, the idea of being under God is reflected in important developments in every century of American history. In the 1800s, Lincoln recognized our liberties coming from God when he delivered his Gettysburg Address. He famously said, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And in the latter part of the 20th century, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to the same principle of divinely bestowed rights for all people as the underpinnings for the civil rights movement. In his famous letter from a Birmingham jail, which, by the way, Chuck Colson absolutely loved and often quoted, King referred to the transcendent law of God governing us all. And then in 1963, on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, he famously said, I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Each time school children recite the Pledge of Allegiance, they're being reminded of what Jefferson called the only firm basis for liberty, a conviction that these rights come from God, not from the government. Your children's schools may not teach them this important principle, but you can. As a family, you can read and discuss what the Pledge of Allegiance means. To help you do that, our friends at Gateways to Better Education are offering Breakpoint listeners a free lesson explaining each phrase of the pledge, including what it means to be one nation under God. The lesson is being used in public school classrooms across the country. To download your free copy of the Pledge of Allegiance lesson for your family or for your classroom, visit Breakpoint.org. Simply click on this commentary and we'll link you to it. For Breakpoint, this is Eric Metaxas.
Again, visit Breakpoint.org to link up to the resource Eric discussed today. You can also find out how to get Eric's new e-book, Jesus Hates Dead Religion. Plus, you can browse our online bookstore of other great books and resources. And you can link up to our social media sites, like Facebook and Twitter. We hope you'll join the discussion of the worldview issues you hear about each day on Breakpoint. That's all at Breakpoint.org. Log on soon. By phone, reach us toll-free at 1-877-3-CALL-BP.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
In today's economy, the ability to access data quickly can mean the difference between success and failure. Maximum Archive's MyDrive service lets you have access to your data from just about any device and pretty much anywhere. MyDrive makes sure that when it counts, you can get what you need, because failure's not an option. Sign up for MyDrive today at MaximumArchive.com. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hey, cruise on over to the Whiskey A Go-Go, Freedomizer's late-night comedy show on Wednesday nights from 10:30 to midnight Pacific time. Hosted by me, Val Volano, and my co-host, Crazy Mars. We are seeking talent in comedy and music. The music we are looking for is classic rock, acid rock, hard rock, rap, pop, and blues. In comedy, we want any and all comedy skits, whether you call in live or submit by MP3. Be as creative as you want. Please submit your work at our fan page on Facebook at The Whiskey A Go-Go. So come, lift your spirits and get away from all the doom and gloom. warning, it's raw, it's dangerous, and we will be at our best at making fun of you. No PC allowed. I'm stalking you. You never know who and when I will swoop on the air, unless you're there. So that's Wednesday night, 10:30 to midnight Pacific time, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Whiskey a go-go! Whoa! Put the brakes on! Did you catch all that? Too much coffee. Freedomizer is so addicting.
Oh, yeah, baby. Do you know what time it is? It's time to get your freak on. With your host, Max Casey, right here on the Black Market Liberty Show, Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Central.
When we open our minds to the incredible, unlimited universe, we become participants in the active flow and infinite energy of life. We begin to live a much larger experience. We become free. In the magical universe, there are no coincidences and there are no accidents. You are here. You found Freedomizer Radio. See, the Power in You is about sharing the light of who you are, exploring different points of view, different perspectives on topics for better health for your mind and your body. Join Miss Cookie and me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. and Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and grow the light of who you are. Right here at Freedomizer Radio.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Do you believe we are not alone? Are you intrigued by the paranormal and psychic phenomena? Have you ever wondered if there was something abnormal about how the society operates? Do you believe you are here to do more on this planet? Do you feel as though you are living in a prison country or planet rather than a sovereign nation? Does it feel like you never had any constitutional rights or that they are ignoring it as if it wasn't important? Join me, Joanna Johnston, psychic empath and spiritual warrior, on Illuminating Minds on FreedomizerRadio.com every Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, beginning on January 8th, to move further down the rabbit hole.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Praise the Lord, and we're back. All right, and you're listening to the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries Sabbath Show. We thank all of you who are listening live, those of you who are listening through Blog Talk, those of you who are listening at the archives, God bless your heart. We love you too dearly. And to all of our friends in the chat rooms, we see you. We love you. Hi, guys. And now it's time for us to go and receive our Christian update from our Christian correspondent, Sister Vicky, who hosts the Heated Conversation here every Thursday night on the Freedomizer Radio Network from 10:30 p.m. to midnight, and on Fridays from 9 p.m. until midnight. Sister Vicky, God bless you. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm sorry I didn't come in earlier. I tried to Facebook you, but you didn't get the message.
Yeah, I read it on the air. You're making potatoes.
I was making potatoes, yes. And that's why I was clearing my throat right now, because I was trying to, you know, eat my omelet before I went on air. I'm a dork. I was hungry. I was hungry.
And you always seem to wait till it's time to go on the air to eat.
I know.
Oh, don't make me laugh. My tooth is killing me.
I already hurt you earlier by making you laugh.
Yeah, you did.
Because I'm a huge dork. And you love me.
You do that. Yeah. That's one of my shortcomings, but we're not going to worry about it. So what do you have for us today, Sister Vicky?
Okay, I have a – like I told you, I went to a prayer meeting with Benny Hinn two times, right? So I just thought that this was really funny. I got it from the Christian Post. Benny Hinn's remarriage ceremony canceled. This is my opinion, right? Before I go into the article. Once you get married, this is my life, right? That's probably why I'm not married. Once you get married, you're married for life, right? No matter
right.
if it's hard or whatever, you're married one time and one time only, you get one shot. That's my opinion. You know, that's how I live my life. And so, you know, a man of God getting remarried is a little, you know, somebody who's on the limelight.
It seems like, you know, he's going along with the world. And we would have to go into the whole scenario, you know, because his wife did leave. And then she tried to come back, as the word of God says, that she should be reconciled to her husband. And then that didn't work out and what have you. You know, because, money sends men into a tailspin. And when I say men, I mean man and woman. We begin to worship the money. And then when that money comes with power and prestige and fame, you know, I mean,
and arrogance.
Well, those people then begin to think like they're a god to themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to deal with that. So, you know, I can only pray for the Hens, him and her as well, you know, because I don't know what's going on. I really don't, you know, because I know she, like you say, you know, you're married for life and she should stick it out, you know. If she was in physical danger, I could see her separating herself and what have you, you know, but that wasn't the case. So, you know, it's like, you know, who's really believing in God here? You know, now the word of God tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians that if the unbeliever departs, let them depart. For a brother or sister is not held under bondage in such cases, you know, and the bondage is the bond of, you know, marriage. If the person actually believed, they wouldn't leave their spouse, you know.
Exactly.
But now,
exactly.
What if a believer, you know, has to deal with that, you know, and you know, I couldn't see her, you know, I couldn't do it, you know, myself, and that's my own situation that I'm in, you know, and it's like it's hard, you know, because you have to sit and you have to stay prayerful and you have to be celibate, and you know, the person that you're loved and that you're married to, they're out doing anything with God knows who knows what, you know. So it's I really can't say. I just pray for him, Sister Vicky. I really do.
Yeah, I just feel really bad. Well, let's get into the article. Like I said, it's from the Christian Post. Its evidence has begun to surface that Benny and Suzanne Hinn's such publicized remarriage have been canceled, or at least for the very least postponed from its planned date of Friday.
Did you put the link in the chat room?
Yeah, I'll do it again.
Thank you.
There you go. Okay. According to Benny Hinn Ministries website, Benny Hinn will be holding three miracle services at Wake Chapel Church in Raleigh, North Carolina on October 25th, 26th. two of the services, one at 10 a.m. and another at 7 p.m., will take place on October 26th. A further curiosity is that the Calvary Assembly of God in Orlando, the church where the ceremony is supposed to take place, does not list Benny Hinn's remarriage on his online calendar. The Christian Post called the Calvary Assembly regarding the remarriage. Calvary responded that it's best to contact Benny Hinn Ministries because we are just letting them use the building, and other than that, we are not directly involved.
Benny Hinn Ministries was then contacted. Go ahead.
Yeah, but no representative of the ministry responded to the Christian Post by press time. It just goes into the whole story that you just said. You know,
yeah.
with the whole, you know, breakup.
There have been some really, really hard allegations lodged at Benny Hinn, and like they have videos of this guy and Benny Hinn and them, and they're passing around the opium pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because, you know, it's clear that it's Benny Hinn and what have you. And then one of the guys died that night, you know, that was there and what have you. So, you
really?
Know,
so he's into heroin and stuff like that?
Opium. Opium,
well,
they
opium,
say.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, all you have to do is go to YouTube and, you know, you can find that video if the ministry hasn't, you know, sued to take it off, because it was up there. I've seen it, and it's clearly Benny Hinn, and it's like, wow, you know, these, you know, so they're one way in front of the people, and they're another way when they're alone to themselves. That's not a man of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like anyone that knows me, Sister Vicky, will tell you the same way that you hear me on the radio and you talk to me on the phone, in real life, everyone will tell you I'm the exact same way. My boss.
You're more of a brat on the phone.
My boss will tell you, he said, you know, I'm going to call you 24/7. That's your new name because you're always on. You know, because this is just me. You know, and I'm constantly, you know, my life is about God. There's no aspect in my life that God is not in, you know. And being an outreach minister, I'm speaking to people everywhere I go. If I'm going to a house to do repairs, if I'm in the store or what have you, you know, I mean, it's just me, you know, because I live, you know, what I preach. And I don't just tell people what they should do, and I'm not doing it. You know, that would be hypocritical. And, you know, that's not me, because I'm not trying to go to hell for nobody, Sister Vicky.
No,
I promise.
You know, Minister will get mad at me on the phone. Like, he'll say, Vicky. So I put in chat, Minister K is a brat in real life. You are. You're pretty much a brat. I love you, though. I love you, because I'm a brat back. We have a good conversation. I really love who Minister is off and on there. He's the same person. I could just, you know, tell him whatever, and he's cool. That's what I like about you. I think that's what I like the most about you being a minister, and I could, like, express myself in the way that I am, you know?
That you're comfortable at it. And you can still receive God's truth at the same time, you know, because I don't look down on anybody for any reason, you know, because minister ain't perfect, you know. So someone doesn't
Paul
want me.
Kids, oh, my goodness. Continuation of what happened on the show last night, right? Baldy just told me, you're coming to the lake with me, Vicky. We're talking about the lake of fire. And so Baldy just told me, I'm going to the lake with him. Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
Oh.
What is this? She talking about Satan is on the whiskey or
something? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what that means. But, yeah, anyway,
okay.
So that's
all right.
That Baldy.
Oh, Susan Dad is in the chat room. Okay. God bless you, Haya. How are you? All right. So, You got anything else for us? We've got about 10 minutes.
Well, I have a stupid one. Well, I guess it's not stupid, but it's just really weird. I couldn't find anything on a Christian post. It was really hard.
Really?
There was not that much news in there. It was really weird. Anyway, so Justin Bieber's mom says she couldn't abort baby. So Justin Bieber's mom, Patty, was told to abort her baby at 17. But when she became pregnant and the now famous teen singer, I can't even talk. Anyway, she didn't hesitate about keeping her son. I just knew I couldn't, she said in an interview. I was like, okay.
That's good that she did not abort her child, you know. I hear some of the songs that, you know, this Canadian singer is singing, and you know, she's failed him in other ways, you know, and what have you. And now she's got him caught up in the Hollywood fame thing. And, you know, I know she's still recognizing, you know, God and what have you, you know, but we can't straddle this. We can't play with Satan and what have you, and gather the things of this world and reach for all the treasures and the riches of this world, and then still say we with God. You know, I mean, we're fooling ourselves. You know, if you are a friend of the world, then you're an enemy of God. The Word of God teaches us. You know,
yeah.
We can't have it both ways. And so many times, that's what we try to do. Like I mentioned before, how you know, how like here in Chicago, we have a couple of radio stations here, and mm-hmm. you know, they'll play all of the rap, reggae, and everything, and then they'll say, and for those of you who need a little inspiration, and then they'll throw in, you know, the so-called spiritual songs. Well,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it was actually a spiritual song, you know, light and darkness has nothing to do with one another. Satan wouldn't allow Christ to be preached in his camp.
Mm-hmm.
And people aren't understanding that. Neither would Christ allow Satan in his camp. So, you know, it's a perversion, and, you know, it's not accepting of everything. Oh, you know, you have to love everybody. Yeah, I love you enough to tell you that if you continue down this path, you're on your way to hell. I love you just that much to tell you that. My mouth shut, you know, and don't tell you the truth. Because silence in the face of evil is evil all in itself.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I wanted to say something that I forgot to say in the beginning of the show. I just want to wish everybody a happy fall. Summer's done. We're done with that. Put it in our past. Let's move forward with fall. You know, fall is about rebirth. And so maybe we could, you know, take some of that negativity out and breathe in health.
Yeah,
get some fresh
fall air, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing to do, because we're going to get some clean air here in Chicago. Chemtrails will not have a chance with the almighty hawk that run through here.
Yeah. But, you know, and hopefully it is, you know. Let's just breathe in happiness, you know. Let's just breathe in. And last night, I know you didn't make it because of your toothache, Minister, but last night on the show, it was really a good show. I mean, we had really good callers. I mean, we had like 10 callers. And it was like all night 10 callers. So there must have been like all together probably like 15, 16 callers. You know, and it's amazing to me. I mean, Mark, he told me that, you know, you're the only one that's left, you know, out of the group,
yeah.
You know. That was amazing. It was amazing to hear because, you know, I am going to be, you know, I have the strength, and I'm going to do this until the end, you know.
Well, you know, when, you know, the Lord calls those who is equipped, and if they're not equipped, he equips them. And see, by us, you know, submitting to the will of God, and you know, we are actually, you know, telling the people His truth. I mean, there's a strength there that, you know, is not prevalent to all the others that go along with this terminology or this ideology or this, you know, theological understanding that so many have and what have you, you know, because, you know, you can't go along with the lizards and the serpents and the atheists and all of that and then still be with Jesus. That ain't going to work. You know, that's what Christ called a lukewarm Christian. And,
yeah.
You know, Christ said in the book of Revelation, said, I wish that thou were either cold or hot, but seeing that thou art lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a serious accusation, you know. So now you called on him and what have you, and, you know, he quite possibly saved you from the day of wrath that is to come, because that's mm-hmm. what we're saved from the day of wrath. And then we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and then there's still going to be so many that don't make it. Christ said, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, and I will tell them, depart from me, I never knew you. That's a shame, because we are being lukewarm and we are being hypocritical, and we reject knowledge, you know.
Yeah.
We can't be rebuked, you know, because I'm just as equal as you, and that's not how, you know, the situation of God goes. There's no way in the world, you know, the congregation, you know, is equal as the pastor, because God is going to hold that pastor liable for the souls of the congregation. So how in the world are you all equal to him?
Mm-hmm.
But people don't get that, you know, and it's a shame.
You know, people don't get a lot of things. I've noticed that the world is going a little bit insane lately. You know,
a little
it's
bit?
Like, well, okay, a lot insane. I was trying to be nice. Okay. It's just getting crazy, right? People are acting weird. They're speaking before, you know, they're not thinking before they speak. You know, they're alienating people. I mean, it's just really weird. I mean, I've been noticing that. I guess, you know, I guess because I had a hard week, you know. I really did. I had a hard week. And, it was just a hard week. But I was thinking about everything, you know. And I'm like, man, I mean, this world is sick. People do sick things to other people. I mean, things that are childish and stupid. And I mean, what are they, 5 years old, 10 years old?
Oh, and you'll be surprised how many people that are supposed to be grown act like they're still in grade school, and they do childish things and childish stunts. And, you know, I really don't have time. I really don't, you know. And you know yourself that, you know, we see it everywhere. And, you know, like I always tell you, Vicky, don't play that game. You know,
yeah, you always tell me that.
Time.
And you really ground me. Because, I mean, as of late, I really want to just, yeah, I want to speak my mind, but I don't.
You want to jump in and lash out and defend yourself and all of that. And you know what? People, they talked about Jesus. So you know what? I chalk it up as a good thing when they talk crazy about me. And it's an everyday occurrence, especially in ministry and what have you. But then again, I get a lot of people, just as I know you do, that, you know, appreciate you and you know, really treasure your work and what you're doing for the people. So, you know, I mean, hey, plus, you know, we know we're doing what's right in the eyesight of God. So who cares what somebody else thinks or what they say, you know? Don't put your hands on me. You can talk all you want to. You know, I'm not going to sit up and be nobody's punching bag, but, you know, you can talk all you want. You can come around and disrupt things and what have you, you know, and, you know, we get all trolls in the chat rooms and what have you and everything, and you know, they have things so in disarray that so many times most of our regular listeners, they'll just leave.
Yeah.
And what have you, you know, which I don't blame them because that's exactly what I'll do. You know, okay, I ain't got time for this, and I'll just let it go, you know. And that's what we do, you know, because if you don't play the game, you can't lose.
Exactly, and I'm learning that. I'm learning that because I'm learning that. I really am, Mister. You're teaching me a lot of valuable lessons, right? When you tell me that, because I'll explain my situation or whatever, and then you'll say, just calm down, Vicky. And I'm like, no, I don't want to, fuck this, you know, whatever, sorry. Then you need to run the ministry, but you know what I mean. Sorry,
God isn't through with you yet, we know.
Yeah, God's not through with me yet. Anyway, and but seriously, but I'm, you know, that does go along with the story that I'm talking about, you know. I just get so... You know, I mean, I'm very intense, right? My passion, my intensity, you know, my deepness, it goes all around, not only in love, but in the public and how I feel about everybody, you know what I mean? So I have to control those emotions, but the thing that's hard about it is that's part of my nature, right?
Yeah, I got
so it's really hard for me to, because it's part of me.
Amen. It's obvious, and you know, I'm not saying that they, you know, even if they got to me, Sister Vicky, they would never know it, because I wouldn't let them know it.
Mhm. You know, I just think that we need unity. That's what we need. We need unity, and we don't have it. We don't have unity in the world.
Because
that's why our world is going to hell in a handbasket.
Right, because, you know, it's not like man is focused on, you know, not has increased, and man think he know better than God. You know, I have a friend, one of our friends was telling me that she has a friend whose pastor is rewriting the Bible. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, rewriting the Bible. See, that's how far away from God that we really are, because we think that, you know, we can say it better than God and what have you. And it's only the word of God that will break the yoke and break the bondage of his people, and that will convict and convert. You know, we coming up with what we think and whatnot. You know, we're telling God, oh, we know better than you. That's arrogance. That's pride. That's vanity. And all of these things, the word of God tells us, God hates. And yet now here is so-called a pastor that is actually, you know, walking down this line. And it's like, wow, you know, how are you going to actually, you know, lead the flock when now you're coming up with your own theology? You know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, all right. Well, it's time for us to take our commercial break, Sister Vicky. You going to hang around for a minute, or you got to go?
Yeah, no, I'll hang around.
I appreciate you. All right, and you're listening to the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministry Sabbath Show right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. We'll be right back, guys.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
In today's economy, the ability to access data quickly can mean the difference between success and failure. Maximum Archives MyDrive service lets you have access to your data from just about any device and pretty much anywhere. MyDrive makes sure that when it counts, you can get what you need, because failure is not an option. Sign up for MyDrive today at MaximumArchive.com. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
Hi, folks.
Joanne Moretti here, inviting you to tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern, that's 3 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Thursday, for Liberty Underground, The Moretti Report, the best 6 o'clock news on the web. Please join me, as well as my great co-host, JoJo Norton, and our chat moderators, Lynn and Anna, as we bring you the latest news, current events, analysis, and an occasional featured guest. That's 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday, right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Truth Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hey guys, tune into the heated conversation hosted by me, Vicky. UFOs, GMOs, and chemtrails, oh my. We talk about anything and everything as long as it's hot. So call in and join the discussion live Thursday nights, 10:30 to midnight, and Friday nights, 9 to midnight Pacific. Only on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Rob Nellen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nellen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, this is Ron with Ron's Media Matrix. I would like to invite you to listen to my show every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for our international listeners, that's 1,800 hours to 2,000 hours Greenwich Mean Time right here on Freedomizer Radio. I always interview a broad spectrum of guests ranging from entrepreneurs to the eclectic. I also like to keep you up to date on the latest breaking news in geopolitics, world events, astronomy, technology, science, and how it relates to the 21st century and an emerging global order. Be sure to visit our website at freedomizerradio.com, take part in our lively chat room, visit our sponsors, or read breaking news articles on our Twitter feed. You can also find out more about the wide variety of shows and hosts at freedomizerradio.com. If you'd like to comment or speak with a guest during the show, just give us a call at 347-324-3704.
All right, and we're back. Having issues out the studio for some reason, but all right, now.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio. You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
That's crazy. All right, brothers and sisters, and we're back. Okay, our topic today is... We all know the Ten Commandments, and one of the Ten Commandments is, Thou shalt not kill. And the topic that we're addressing now is women in the military. How does that work? Does Thou shalt not kill no longer apply? And the reason why that I'm saying this is because, first of all, we know God never called his daughters into battle. Never. It never happened. Now, here is a woman who has been given a godly commission to bring life into the world. And now, because they can get money and benefits, they take guns and go and kill other women's children And that's, you know, that's, what do you think? Give us a call here at 347-324-3704. Once again, that number here is 347-324-3704. See, because there is no draft for women. They have to volunteer. So now, in the Day of Judgment, what do you tell the Most High? What do you tell Jesus when you're standing before the throne of grace that, well, I wasn't doing well enough and to receive the benefits and what have you, I became a killer for the government? Because it's, we're not defending ourselves. No one's come over here and attacking us. We're going over there because of a disagreement in their policies that we don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And our daughters are going along with this. What do you think, Sister Vicky?
Well, to tell you the truth, I wasn't really paying attention. I was doing other things all at once. I'm sorry. I mean, this is the problem with me during the day. I could never concentrate. I'm sorry, Master.
That's fine, Sister Vicky. That's fine. But what I was saying, women in military, you know.
Oh, yeah. Where women, God said that women should never be on the forefront. Right. That's what you're, okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah.
I heard that, and I was paying attention, but, you know, I was, like, doing 10 billion things at once. But yeah, you know, I don't think women should be in the military at all. That's not a place for them, right? It's not the place for them. They are, you know, women have, I know that women want equal rights or whatever, but I don't believe in it because women have female issues, right? And on the battlefield, that isn't very, you know, I mean, women could die if they don't properly take care of themselves, you know? So I don't think that women should be anywhere in the military. And plus, you know, yes, I joke about how women should be president or whatever, but in actuality, I think it's a man's job.
Exactly. God has never called his daughters to fight. You know, I mean, they are the bringers of life. How do you tell someone that bring children into the world to take a gun now and go kill another woman's child that was brought into the world? I mean, that's so far left, it'll never be right. You know, and these, and you know, women are volunteering for this. You know, so the question is, does thou shalt not kill no longer apply? You know, let us do the phone lines here, and let's see what our callers think. This has got to be Brother Larry. God bless you, Brother Larry. How are you?
Nope, it's not. And you're not Kim. You're an imposter just like I am.
I only wanted to talk to Brother Larry, so I'm gonna mute you again, sir.
No, she can stay on. Don't mute Vicky, no. And don't mute me either.
I miss you, Larry. You haven't talked to me all week. I have not had a phone call or text.
I was going to sleep after ABC.
Oh yeah, you have texted me or called
me. Oh man, I know. Hey, this job, you know. You know, it takes a lot. I mean, there are times when this job is all work and no play. Other times I have plenty of time. It is a very demanding job. Brother Ken, it's thou shalt not murder. It's not thou shalt not kill. They changed it around after the last time I saw it in a Bible was the King James Cambridge 83 version. After that, when the Zondervan Society took over the printing of it, they changed it to thou shalt not kill. But in reality, it's murder. But I have to agree, women don't belong in the military. But one thing I wanted to touch base with you on, you there?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I can hardly hear you. Sometimes your volume goes in and out, like they're getting away from your microphone.
Just go on, Brother Larry. Go ahead.
You still have issues, I know. All right.
We hear you.
You're a man of issues. Check this out. You need to do a search on this on StartPage. Don't use Google. Use StartPage.com. They don't keep track of what you do.
Yeah.
Look for Noah Hyde Law. It's either N-O-A-H-Y-D-E or N-O-A-H-I-D-E. It's a bill that George H.W. Bush signed into law. Okay? And it talks about at the end times, Congress actually passed a law back in 91, I believe. 1991. Eventually, where they're going to be putting to death by guillotine Christians and such. But anyway, it explains why they have all the guillotines at certain strategic locations in the United States. Check out NOA HIDE law. And if that doesn't come up with anything, use HYDE. Because I know there used to be a Senator Hyde, and he was basically a treasonous individual. But it might be HIDE, so look up those terms. But El Presidente George H.W. Bush, Mr. Thousand Points of Light, Luciferian Illuminati, Satan worshiper, pass that bill.
Really?
Yeah, and when you signed it, you'll go, oh my gosh. And it goes that far back and then some. But anyway, yeah, it's worth checking out. Because a lot of Christians, you know, they think everything's all hunky-dory and vote for repukes and all these other things, and it's like, here's the kind of people you vote for. Wake up. You're voting for people that are going to kill you. You know, that's like me giving the keys to a burglar and saying, go ahead, take everything I have in my house. I don't care. Take my children. Kill them, too.
No, exactly. You know, and it's out of hand today because we're in all of these unjust wars and what have you, and our women are volunteering, you know, and the sad part about it, you know, none of us should be over there. You know, we should stand as Muhammad Ali and say, hey, them folks ain't did nothing to me. Why am I going over there?
Yeah.
You know,
well, we don't have a righteous government, so they're not going to do righteous things.
Well,
right.
But what does that have to do with the people? I mean, you know, because there's no way in the world, you know, I would go, you know.
No, Christians have no business joining the military at this point in this country's history because the government is not righteous. The Pentagon is ruled by the NWO.
Christians are no better, you're correct.
And it's, all I have to say is to a person that's a Christian, why are you going in the military? What is so great about what you're doing? You're not
money,
doing
benefits.
This for we the people. This is
money,
a,
benefits. That's why they join. Money and benefits. That's why they go. So they've sold their soul and rejected the word of God for money and benefits. And there is nothing that's going to justify that before God, and people can say what they like and you know, and come up with all types of examples that they want to. But when you stand before the throne of grace, you know, and it's going to be what happened to the commandment that I gave you that I know you knew, and for your own private gain, you went and you became a killer, you know, of my people, because those are still, you know, God's people, you know.
Yep.
Some of them, you know, are you know, misguided, just like we are going over there. That we're misguided,
yep,
being right there fighting them.
Pastor, calm down.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you. In Scripture, correct me if I'm wrong, but was it not in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came to arrest Christ Jesus? A couple of the guards got knocked down by the Holy Spirit. Or, well, not guards. Maybe they were the guards, servants, soldiers of the Pharisees.
Right, right.
Okay, that's where people get this slain in the Holy Spirit idea, and you'll see pastors doing this sometimes. But they got knocked down because they were enemies of God, not children of God. It wasn't
exactly
that all of a sudden they got saved and because of it they got knocked down. No, they got knocked down because they were enemies of the Holy Spirit. Am I right?
Right.
Okay, so when you see a pastor or a so-called pastor doing this, touching someone on the forehead and they pass out, faint, fall down, all that, you know, to prove that, oh, they got slain by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's fraud. That has nothing to do with being healed by the Holy Spirit. Because I've seen many pastors doing this.
You know, people don't seem to get it, you know, and I've seen people fall out, hurt themselves and all types of things, talking about, oh, she was slain in the spirit and all of this. Since when would God hurt somebody? You know, it's so ridiculous, you know. I don't see how people are so blind. But, you know, we want to justify whatever we want to justify, you know. I'm quite sure even with this this topic that, you know, it's a lot of women that want to justify women being in the military. But you know, there is no justification for having a desire to go somewhere and kill another person.
Look at the men that God chose to do his battles.
Well, if someone was coming over here and you had to defend yourself, that's another story entirely. But to join up under these unrighteous men fighting these unjust wars to go over and kill some people that you're only going over there so these rich people can have the oil or the land or the precious commodities that they're trying to go, that they're trying to achieve. So, you know, the fact of the matter is it's wrong, and there's nothing going to make it right.
But anyway, remember this, because I don't want you to forget this, okay? Write it down if need be. NOA Hyde Law, okay? And it was passed in 91 or 92 by George H.W. Bush. Do a search on that, and then tell your fellow Christians that you talk to about this, because it has to get nullified one way or the other. Okay, you have to be a thorn in the side of the government, to say the least. Okay.
If you're listening at the show star, one second, Larry. If you're listening at the show star, I just said that if we were being attacked, that is a totally different thing to defend yourself. But to go over up under these unjust men and going in these unjust wars, we are wrong. Because those people, just because those people said something, you know, we don't have the right to go over there and start doing anything that we want to do just because, they said something. But now, if these people were coming over here and they were causing us harm, that's a different story entirely. You know, but to go over to another man's country and what have you and start killing them up because we want what they got or they're not doing as we think they should, that's wrong. And there's nothing going to make that right. And then but when you stand before the Christ, it's still not going to be right, you know. And it's not we're, you know, defending our country. Nobody's attacking our country. You know, just because their policies and thoughts are different from ours, you know, they can say what they wanted over there, as long as they're not coming over here and doing us harm.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact of the matter is, that's not what's going on. America is the aggressor from
all the way when they came over here and aggressively took this land from the people that were here. We've always been
not originally. Originally, they came over and played nice. The Pilgrims did anyway. It wasn't until later, but both sides were kind of evil. The Indians weren't exactly nice little people at times. The whole reason behind having to build a fort was because some tribes of Indians were actually pretty darn ruthless, okay? But that's another story. I mean,
let's not get into that. In these wars, we are the aggressor. There's nothing going to change that. You know, when we went over to
Now they are. I mean, you know, this government has been for a long time, and I'm not going to deny that, okay?
Under Bush, when we went over to Iran, and 29 days afterwards, Bush got on national television and said, the war is over. It's just going to take us time to get out of there.
His war was over because he had secured
putting the people that he needed in charge so they could get the oil. That's an unjust war.
Central Bank is also the thing, because Saddam Hussein was thumbing his nose at the New World Order. That's why they really went in and took him out. Just like they are going after Iran and Syria, and they went after Gaddafi because they're thumbing their nose at the New World Order. Okay? A good Muslim won't have anything to do with the NWO, because they, even with them being enemies of God, they still recognize that it's their enemy. And while I don't believe in the old adage of the enemy of my enemy is my friend, I do have to say at least they're my temporary ally if they're an enemy of my enemy, to a limited, very limited degree. But all that being said, they don't want to have anything to do with the Antichrist. They do recognize, you know, the central banks run by the Rothschilds, et cetera, as being totally absolute evil. But
all right,
that's another story.
Scorpion,
anyway, look up the NLA Hyde Law, please.
Let's bring Brother Scorpion into the conversation, Brother Larry.
You bet. Bye, Vicky.
Hey.
Brother Scorpion, are you
there? Yeah, I'm here. What's going on, Kenneth? Sorry I'm late, buddy. I had some things to take care of in the morning, but I'm doing all right.
I'm loved. Just kidding.
But, guys, I'm just, not to change the subject, I'm just completely amazed. I'm just amazed on how many people these days just want to attack the Bible, want to attack the Word. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. It seems like it's more now than what I've ever heard of in the past.
In other words, when you were a sinner, it sounds kind of like the same thing from the so-called people who are following Christ now, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, back when I was a kid, too, when I was 15, 14, 15, you never heard of anybody ever bad-mouthing the Bible. I never heard of it. Now it's everywhere.
Oh, exactly.
Everywhere.
You know, there was a respect. There was a fear of God.
Now
man
there's
doesn't
not.
Fear God. You know, man wants to say there is no God.
And to be honest with you, when I was in the Navy and I was going through boot camp, I, of course, you see women all the time in the military now, you know, in Navy, Army, Marines, Air Force, National Guard. But I had a drill instructor, I never knew her first name, but her last name was Malone. But she was a drill instructor there. I mean, it's just, I'm not going to sit there. I know my personal view. I ain't got nothing against no woman. I don't hate nobody. I don't think they're beneath me or anything like that. We all in the same boat. But, you know, I'm not going to sit there and send a woman over there to freaking war. That's my spot. I'm the protector. That's my duty. And that's just inside me. I agree with you. We should have them in the military. Not because they're not capable of doing certain things, but it's just that the point is that, man, that's a woman, dude. Real? Going to send a woman to fight your war? Is that what you were about? Is that what kind of man you are?
Right.
Really?
Yeah, that's ludicrous, you know, and it has nothing to do with we don't, you know, she's not you know, behind her man or anything. It's the fact of the matter is, you know what, you don't send women and children to fight. You know, we're no better than the Muslims that strap a bomb on a 8, 9, 10 year old and send him out, you know, to kill a bunch of folks.
Yeah.
You know, there's no difference.
Hey, I'm getting a lot
and
of
just because they, yeah, just because they, you know, they volunteer, you know, that even makes it more atrocious, you
yeah.
know, and appalling, you know. Why you are the bringer of life? How in the world can you turn around and go and take a life? You know,
yeah,
you're a mother,
exactly.
You're a woman.
You're the one
your child. You don't want someone to come and kill your child, but now you'll take a gun and you'll go and kill another woman's child. Come on, you know, I mean, how backwards is that?
It's just hypocritical.
But that's
man.
Where
no,
we
that's
are
one
in
thing
the world.
I've noticed about this world is full of hypocrisy. It's unreal. Everywhere you look, hypocrite there. It's like, wow.
And then we try and justify these things because this is what we want to do, you
yep.
know. And just as Brother Larry and I were saying, there's no justification for going to kill. And then you volunteer. It's not like, you know, you were drafted or anything, and you know you had to because you know your country was under attack and they needed you or something like that. You volunteered to be a killer.
This country ain't never been. Ain't nobody have the means. I mean, ain't nobody gonna come in here and attack the United States of America. Nobody's gonna come here and attack the United States of America. Not straight up front. It's not gonna happen. You know. And but what about 9/11?
No, they did it a cowardly way.
We all know about 9/11, but you know, I don't even understand why we're fighting all these wars anyways. Because they're not running our country the way it ought to be with sovereignty and all this, okay?
It's
all like a slap in the face, Scorp, right? It's a slap in the face because they're like, oh, we can't feed the poor, we can't educate people, you know, we can't pay for Medicare. And guess what? But we can pay $9 billion a day for, you know, 5,000 wars.
Yeah,
you see how it's a slap in the face and all this other technology?
Yeah, what we can do is we can go over there and
you know,
bomb the heck out of the country and take all their gold and all their valuables, leave them dirt poor, and then we go over there. Oh, well, we got to rebuild this country now. When in U.S. history, when we ever went to war, even back when we were Britain, that we have went to war and we have conquered a nation and we sit there and stay there and help rebuild them? When in history has that ever happened?
You know, it's sad, Brother Scorpion, but this is the way America is, and, you know, it's not I'm being unpatriotic. I'm saying that our government is the threat to national security. You know, this administration is the threat to our national security because you are picking these fights and what have you with these other nations, you know, on your own agenda without, you know, the say-so of the American people. Now, how do you just decide we're going to go and fight somewhere and you won't fight? You know, you're not Kennedy. You're not Washington or none of them that actually led their troops and what have you, you know.
Yeah, Washington did it.
You know,
hell, Obama's
been in so many different countries, you know, we don't know who he belongs to.
Yeah, these people are posting up with the El Cahiba cigar. They got them a bottle of brandy. They got it on the rocks. They posting up in a 50-story building, living high life, you know, messing
and
around with secretaries
and
whatnot.
Children. Sending our 18, 19, 20-year-old children off to sacrifice their life for them. Because,
yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with us. It's wrong. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama just helped pass the UN Small Arms Treaty. That's
yeah.
a threat to our national security. Anytime you tell the people that you can't protect yourself, we'll protect you, you just threaten our security.
Yeah, I'd rather be able to protect myself anyways.
I ain't going to sit there and have Army show up at my doorstep, and next thing you know, oh, I ain't got a pistol or nothing. Oh, we'll protect you. I'm not putting my life in somebody else's hands. Not like that.
Yeah, but that's what they're implementing. You know,
interference. I don't know if it's my phone or what.
Yeah, I hear it as well. Well, it's commercial break time anyway. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, right here on the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministry Sabbath Show. And we are addressing the topic here, women in ministry. Does thou shalt not kill no longer apply? Women in the military. Does thou shalt not kill no longer apply? And we'll be right back right after these messages. Stay tuned, guys.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
There's a saying that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. Well, they should include hard drive failure as well. You can ensure your data is safe by using Maximum Archive's online backup solution. By securely backing up the Maximum Archive servers, your data is protected from fire, theft, or simple hard disk failure. Don't let your data go unprotected. Sign up for Maximum Archive today. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout time and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Oh yeah, baby. You know what time it is? It's time to get your freak on with your host, Max Casey, right here on the Black Market Liberty Show, Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Central.
Join me, Valerie Ann, on the Truth Exposition Show at Freedomizer Radio, in exposing the truth about FEMA camps, drone surveillance, martial law, the New World Order, our threatened freedoms and civil liberties, and for weekly news and current events. Mainstream media continues with its lies and deceit to fulfill the agenda of the New World Order. So please join me in exposing the truth, along with the lies and the deceptions that are being fed to the American people. The people of the United States have a voice, and your voice will be heard. Through Freedomizer Radio.
The prophecy is upon us.
In case you're wondering what happened to the Val Volano Show, it has moved to Monday night, 10:30 to midnight Pacific Time. So be sure to cruise on over to the Val Volano Show, where I will be discussing things of deprogramming. Deprogramming from religious dogma, world systems, you name it. It's all about getting our minds free. That's what we talk about on the Val Volano Show. So cruise on over on Monday night, 10:30 to midnight Pacific Time, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com, where Freedomizers are fighting for their freedom.
Our new show is dedicated to prophecy and our survival in times of great disasters. Greetings, I'm Mars, commander of the Watcher Society. We are a private think tank of the most elite thinkers on the end times ever. Welcome to the Watchers Prophecy Radio on Freedomizer. Our show highlights the end of days as seen through the scriptures and how to prepare for the events we see in the news. We will inform you like no other show on the events occurring now in Bible prophecy. Come join us for the unveiling of tyranny in the end of days forecast. What you can do about it.
Hey folks, Valerie Sergeant Martin here, rebel agitator, Republican renegade, and host of the Valerie Sergeant Martin Show. Twice weekly, I bring you guests who represent the best and brightest of the liberty movement, including best-selling authors, candidates, and legislators, and everyday activists, all patriots actively involved in taking back control of our government, putting power in the hands of the people where it belongs. We also talk economics, finance, international markets, and monetary policy. Anything and everything to do with free markets and capitalism. So friend me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and join me Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern and Thursdays 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern for the Valerie Sergeant Martin Show. And remember, extremism in defense of liberty is no vice.
Hey there, Freedomizers. This is JC from the Sports Lounge. Join us for 3 hours on Saturdays as we take a break from politics to discuss sports at FreedomizerRadio.com. Come and join us each Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Pacific, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where Freedomizers freedomize freedom.
As the recent Harvard cheating scandal shows, there's a lot more to virtue than just a cheating scandal has rocked one of the world's great universities. What are we to make of it? Stay tuned to Breakpoint.
From the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's Eric Metaxas with Breakpoint.
The disciplinary board at Harvard recently announced that it was investigating allegations of cheating that were described as unprecedented in anyone's living memory. The allegations of plagiarism and inappropriate collaboration on last spring's take-home final in the course Introduction to Congress involved nearly one half of the 279 Harvard students who took the class. The investigation began when the professor noticed that between 10 and 20 of the tests contained similar answers. Further investigation by the disciplinary board found an additional 100 or so to be suspicious. If the students are found guilty of cheating, they could be suspended for 1 year and receive other sanctions. While I, as a Yale alumnus, am tempted to have some fun at Harvard's expense, that would be inappropriate. First of all, we don't have all the facts. Even more important, cheating happens virtually everywhere. It's part of the human condition. Last year, an epidemic of cheating was uncovered in the Atlanta public school system. There was strong evidence that teachers in some public schools had erased students' answers on standardized tests and penciled in the correct ones. Then there are the less dramatic ways that, in the words of behavioral economist Dan Ariely, we lie to everyone, especially ourselves. In his new book, The Honest Truth About Dishonesty, Ariely debunks the notion that a kind of cost-benefit analysis lies behind human dishonesty. On the contrary, his research shows that neither possible rewards nor even the likelihood of getting caught play much of a role in the decision to cheat. He also disputes the idea that cheating involves a rejection of the idea of right and wrong. In his account, people are caught between two competing goals. They want to see themselves as good and moral people, and they also want stuff. I don't know if Ariely, who is an Israeli, has read Romans 7, but he is describing the dilemma the Apostle Paul identified. The way we reconcile these competing goals is to lie to ourselves about our honesty. The most obvious form of the self-deception is rationalization. In the aforementioned Atlanta scandal, teachers rationalized their cheating as a kind of protest against overemphasizing standardized tests. Ariely also documents that we limit ourselves to small acts of dishonesty. In several experiments, Ariely and company found that lots of people cheat a little bit, very, very few people cheat a lot. Those who cheated a little bit got the benefits of cheating while continuing to think of themselves as good and moral people. Except, of course, they really aren't. To reference the Apostle Paul again, none is righteous, no, not one. Virtue isn't what you do when nothing is at stake, it's what you do when doing the right thing comes at a cost, whether large or small. For the Christian, the response to this dilemma is God's grace, which forgives and transforms us. We become new creatures instead of imagining ourselves as something we're not. There are other issues raised by the events at Harvard, including what, if anything, stories like this one say about us as parents. And I'll talk about that tomorrow on Breakpoint. Please tune in. For Breakpoint, this is Eric Metaxas. As the recent Harvard cheating scandal shows, there's a lot more to virtue than just following the rules. I'll explain next on Breakpoint.
From the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's Eric Metaxas with Breakpoint.
Yesterday, I told you about the cheating scandal at Harvard involving half of the students in an Introduction to Congress class. No, I'm not making that up. The scandal has already cost Harvard two of its best players from last season's Ivy League basketball champions. But there's more to this story than academics, basketball, or even cheating itself. It's ultimately about character. The students under investigation claim, as the New York Times put it, that, quote, they were tripped up by a course whose tests were confusing, whose grading was inconsistent, and for which the professor and teaching assistants gave contradictory signals about what was expected. Not surprisingly, students facing possible suspension have threatened to sue Harvard over the matter. I don't know whether contradictory signals were given or not, but what I do know is that more than half of the class did not collaborate. Apparently, they didn't interpret the contradictory signals as a license to cheat. Events in Cambridge demonstrate the limitations of defining ethics, and especially virtue, as a matter of rules. People have an almost infinite capacity for rationalization and what lawyers and ethicists call casuistry. We acknowledge that lying and theft are wrong in one breath and then explain why what we're doing is neither lying nor thievery, in this particular instance, in the next. For the Christian, while rules matter, they are far from enough. The goal is not rule-keeping, it's character and virtue. In his book, After You Believe, theologian N.T. Wright uses the story of Chelsea Sullenberger, the celebrated U.S. Airways pilot who safely landed an Airbus 320 in the Hudson River after it had been disabled by a flock of geese. According to Wright, Sullenberger's achievement was, quote, to have so formed his character by thousands of small choices and learned decisions that when the test came, he did by second nature what was required. This kind of second nature is what Wright means by character. Christians overcome our sinful natures one small choice and learned decision at a time until we no longer need to consciously ask ourselves what the rules are. Of course, it isn't only Christians. Something similar, minus the specifically Christian virtues of faith, hope, and love, was what previous generations had in mind when they referred to a person's character. In this setting, for an honest person, honesty was a habit, not a matter of interpreting signals. Unfortunately, as James Davison Hunter wrote in The Death of Character, character is dead. Its time has passed. He didn't mean that virtues such as courage, prudence, and temperance are no longer being practiced, or that our culture denies that they are good things. Hunter means that a profound transformation in America's moral culture in the 20th century made it much more difficult to instruct the young about the importance of virtue. And without this instruction, character formation is at best difficult. Thus, cheating is no longer a matter of what kind of person do I want to be. Instead, it's, do the rules apply to me in this instance? In other words, the stuff of lawyers. On Monday, I'll tell you about the alternative. It requires a certain kind of courage, the willingness to be out of step with the times. It's not easy, but it's the only road that leads back to character. Please tune in. For Breakpoint, this is Eric Metaxas.
We invite you to visit us at breakpoint.org. While you're there, find out more about the new Renewing the Virtue study series on flash drive. Plus, you can browse our online bookstore of other great books and resources. And you can link up to our social media sites like Facebook and Twitter.
Amen, amen. We need to practice the virtues, guys. And, you know, it can't be, you know, does... it just does no longer apply.
you know, that's old hat and, you know, this is the new world and everything. Word of God tells us, seek the old ways where there is virtue. We've gone so far away from God that now we think what is right for now has nothing to do with what was right in the past. Brothers and sisters, that is not correct. We have gone so far away from God that we actually think this way. There is not many shades of gray. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there is not going to be, you know, it was because of, and I wouldn't have did this if so-and-so hadn't did that.
Right?
Huh?
It's going to be yes or no questions. It's going to be like yes or no. Did you do this? Yes or no? Right?
No, it's going to be where the angels wrote down and said, you did this and you did that. And see, the word of God tells us that all of our works are going to be tried by fire. And if it burns up, that person will be cast out. But if it remains, then we will be welcomed in. See, you know, it's not going to be like a lot of people and all of these false prophets are teaching and what have you. You know, we'll re-grab just like the situation with speaking in tongues. And all of these people, you know, will say, well, God gave me this tongue and I'm going to use it, this. And then they say this little two or three line phrase over and over. And, you know, that's not speaking in tongues, because if you read in the book of Acts, you know, it speaks on something totally different, that these men heard the gospel of Christ in their own language. You know, it wasn't a phrase and what have you and everything. It was the explanation of the gospel of Christ in their own language by men, fishermen and tax collectors and what have you, that had no formal training, but now they were speaking in these men's own language that they could understand the gospel of Christ. And, you know, we try to make everything fit, just like our topic of today, you know, women in the military, you know, or the topic of women in ministry. And women want to, you know, they want to preach the gospel. And there is a place for that. The word of God does tell women that they should teach other women and children. But that's not enough. They want to be over men. And that's the problem that the word of God says that the daughters of Zion has always had, because they've become haughty into themselves, and that's what they want to do, and they want to be over men, and they want to be equal with men. So they're in essence telling God, well, God,
that must be an underlying mental illness, honestly, because see, to think that you are going to be strong enough, women, yeah, I'm a strong woman, right? But I am not strong enough to,
you're strong,
you know,
in your
equal
way, Vicky. You
yeah,
are
yeah,
strong,
but I'm not
in your
strong
way
to be equal
and you
with
can
a man.
Be strong in the Lord. You can be a
yeah.
prayer warrior. You
I
can be a fervent
yeah.
intercessor and what have you.
Well,
but they,
yeah.
that's not good enough. They
see,
have
and that's
to
what
be
I don't understand.
Over men and,
I think men should be over women. They always should be, I think women
well, that's what, that's
are,
what the word
because
of
that's
God
where
is.
Their place, that's their place, right? That's my place. When I eventually get married, my husband will be the top of the household, and
the,
I'm not going to compete with that.
He will be the head of the house.
Yeah, I'm
and
not going to compete
what
with
the word
that.
Of
I'm not
God
even close. I'll be the, you know, I really believe in women being, not that passive, but, you know, somewhat passive towards men, you know. Not a lot, you know, just like a little
strength.
Bit.
It takes more strength to be submissive than it does to do what the hell you want to do. Because it takes nothing to do that. But to be submissive and to submit to the word of God that says you should submit to your husband, you know, it takes a lot of strength, because there's going to be a lot of women that's like, girl, please, I submit to the Lord. No, you don't, because if you submitted to the Lord, you would submit to your husband. Mm-hmm. You know, but they're not getting that. And, you know, we can preach, and we do preach, and I take a lot of ridicule for it, you know, and what have you. But the fact of the matter is, you know, whatever plan God had, you know, after the fall, God gave man rule over women, period. It wasn't just man had, you know, was over his wife. He gave man rule over women after the fall in the garden. So people, you know, they want to change it. They want to fit. They want to feel comfortable in their sin. You know, just like with our topic today. You know, they want to make it all right to be able to fight and whatnot and kill other people. Well, it's wrong when men do it. So how can a woman who is the bringer of life volunteer to go and take a life? You know, it's not making sense. You know, but this is where we are. And it's a shame, you know, but there are those that want to hear the truth, and that's why we're here at Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries, because we're going to stick to the Word of God, and we're going to explain it to the best that God gives us, and we're going to keep on moving forward, regardless to how much, you know, ridicule and, you know, sarcasm that we have to take. We're just going to go head on. It makes no difference.
Yeah, and that's the way that we need to live. I mean, this is hard times, right? Yeah, I have potty mouth. I really do. And I'm trying to control it. I, you know, for the most part, I'm good. Sometimes I get fired up and I forget. And, you know, caution's out the window. But, you know, I'm trying to live life good. And that's what we need to start doing, especially in these troubled times, because we don't know when Jesus is coming back.
And it's going to be a lot sooner. And, you know, the rejection of his commandments, his statutes, and his precepts are a rejection of him, you know. And it's, I'm sorry, but, you know, people just don't understand, and they try not to. And we've got 4 minutes left, but, you know, wrap this thing up from a woman's perspective, Sister Vicky, for us.
Okay. The whole, like, women trying to be in the military and women trying to be above men.
Exactly.
Well, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it. I think women should not be in the service. I think that women should not be at war. Women should not be above any man. And I know this because I've been there where, you know, I dated a weak man or whatever, and I was above, you know, but that's not the way to live. That's not the way to live. I was like, I don't ever want this, because that is a gross situation to be in. I, you know, women should not be in that situation where they're stronger than men. Now, yes, women are strong, but they're strong in their own way, and that coincides with the man, right? It's not that women are strong and they can do it all. Well, I think that the feminist movement, not only that, but also the single mother movement.
Same thing.
You know, I don't need a man, you know, whatever. Yes, you do need a man. You do need a man for a lot of things, and for emotional support,
I would like
and
to talk
for
to those women
love.
That said they don't need a man. If you don't need a man, then stop using everything that a man created. If you don't need a man,
exactly.
Everything
I mean,
that a man invented,
people,
stop using it since you don't need a man, and let's see how far you go.
Well, I know people are going to say, if there's any gay or lesbian, you know, listeners right now, they're going to say, well, how can you say that? How dare you, right? No, I follow God's word, right? I'm following God's
Amen.
Word where the man is the head of the household, and the man is your supporter, your partner, you know, and that's what I agree. Like I said, my family has, you know, gays and lesbians in the family, but I love them. I just don't love the sin. That's as easy as it is,
well,
but I think that everybody's
the order of God. See, people don't get, Sister Vicky, is the order of God. God talks to his sons, which is man, and he, in turn, commands us to teach our wives, and the wives are commanded in the Word of God to teach other women, younger women, and children. So that's the order of God, regardless to how, you know, people want to change it around. Oh, I listen to the Lord. Well, if you were listening to the Lord, then you would know that the Lord said to listen to your men. This is why I have my sons there, because I'm talking to them, and I will, let them know what to let you know. And you take that and you teach the younger women and you teach the children, which is, you know what? What could be more important than that, Sister Vicky? Nothing. There's nothing more important than that. To teach a younger woman that might not know, that might not understand, to teach children who don't know, who's going to be raised up and reared in the fear and the admiration of the Lord. There's nothing more important than that. Sister Vicky, we love you. We got to get
tomorrow
out of here.
I have the pedal hour. I have the pedal hour tomorrow, guys. After minister.
All right.
I'll be on minister.
And
so
the
too.
Lord
okay,
will be right back here tomorrow for with the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries program. 10:30 Central Standard Time, 12:30 Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. And now we're going to go on and go into the it's time for the doctor, and I believe the doctor is in. The doctor is in. Stay tuned, guys, for the Dr. Prepper Show with your host, James Talmadge Stevens.
On the air, everywhere, it's the Dr. Prepper Show with number one best-selling preparedness author, James Talmadge Stevens. On this show, you'll learn more in an hour than some people learn in a year. As the economic and political climate in the United States continues to deteriorate, now more than ever, it pays to be prepared. Get a friend, grab a chair, sit back, and please give a warm welcome to your host, Dr. Prepper.
Well, good afternoon. I am Dr. Prepper, and I'm back in town, back from a long two-week road trip, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of hard work, but here we are. I hope are we good? Can you hear me? Okay.
Hear
I can
you
hear
just
you.
Fine, Doc.
Oh,
hear
great,
you just
great.
Fine.
Well, I was hoping you saw that I was signed on and waiting to speak. So good, good.
I found you.
I apologize
I look
for
you.
The last couple of weeks.
Give a brother heads up, doctor, because you know
I
I'm
did.
Looking. I'm like, anybody seen the doctor?
Well, I apologize. I told Proof that I wouldn't be available because I was going to be out of town, and the shows are always they close about 5 or 6 o'clock on Saturday, and the most exciting time of the show is just when you're getting ready, when it's shutting down. The people have gone, they've been shopping for days, and all of a sudden they see, we need to go purchase this and that, and so we're taking money, doing other good deeds, and talking to people, and closing deals, and delivering product, and hauling stuff out to people's cars. The first week, the week of this third, I guess it was the third of this month. Boy, it seems like forever ago, but we went down to the Southern Baptist Conference. You would have loved that, Minister. You would have loved it. It was a fandango, whatever that means. It was fantastic. There were some 10,000 ministers and probably spouses, and we were there till Friday late afternoon. It was busy, and it was a whole new world for me to go to a preachers' conference because I don't normally attend those. But we were there with Coach Carter. Coach Carter did the movie. Coach Carter, he was the story. He was the story. It was not he playing the part. It was Samuel Jackson who played the part. Samuel's probably 18 inches taller than Coach Carter. But we were there with Coach Carter. He was a total delight. He always is. And giving away DVDs and of his movie. And people walk by. And he's a little guy. He's shorter than I am. He's 5'7". I'm just right at 5'11", maybe, if I stand real tall and don't shrink down a bit. But he says, I know you guys, he'd say, have you heard of me? Well, everybody's heard of him in the whole community. He's well known. And, the gals hung around. The single girls were there. And he knew, I think he must have known, or everybody must have known him, because it was always busy in the front of our booth. And we started out with 10 feet and ended up with 40. We just kept expanding our dominion there. And because
taking
we
over,
kept
aren't
showing
you?
More and more stuff. Pardon me?
Taking over, weren't you?
Yeah, we expanded. Well, people didn't come. Some of the people, they took the lounge area because it was over. People came in late, and they gave him. They took the lounge and broke it down into booths, and so it was red carpet. Everybody else, nobody else had carpet unless they brought it. But we were on the red carpet, and right smack dab in the middle of the show. And it was fantastic. They could see us from anywhere. I mean, if you pass the center, anywhere in the center, we had three sides showing, and so it was fantastic. And it was just fun. There was a lot of. I'd never been to this kind of convocation, so it was a fantastic opportunity to see the ministry as they. Drew inspiration from meetings, and we could hear the singing. It was close, but behind a wall in this huge. It was big enough for 5,000 people to sit down and listen. And so, a number of the ministers were guest speakers, and they had choirs and some of the really top notch singers from the gospel side. It was really interesting. We couldn't see it, but we could hear it. And it was so the mornings were really kind of evangelical. The afternoon was showing people what we were doing. And I think we were probably shock and awe compared to what everybody else was doing because we were talking not about doomsday, but how to prepare for it. And basically, nobody had a clue it was a brand new concept to people that even though they talk about preparedness, I don't think anybody ever considered food and water. So we're there showing food and water and heating devices and things that are really basic to the preparedness industry. So we were trying to talk to them about becoming better prepared, and they didn't and really not gotten into preparedness, which, in the community generally, the churches have the best influence. The people who go to church are the most stable people in the community, generally, obviously. Basically, these are the law-abiding, reds and blues. But the point is, they are the normal society. They're not typically the wild-haired people. Some of their kids may be, and they may have been in their youth, but they're pretty stable if they're going to church and contributing to the message and the messengers. And of course, the people there were leaders of congregations. And it was an interesting opportunity to see how we must reach the leaders of these communities or this community in order to be able to get people. Because unless it's taught in their youth, as it were, they don't get it because it's every day trying to earn a living, stay ahead of the man, keep up with the bills, keep the shoes on the kids' feet, clothing on their back, get them into school, have some kind of standard of living, and keep up with the Joneses. That's really what the world is about more than anything else. So it was a great object lesson. We were there 5 days, and there were 10,000 plus ministers and wives, and in some cases husbands. There were some female ministers. It took us a few days to figure it out at what was going on, and then we realized we were really, they saw us as solutions to their exterior or external missions to third world countries. And I was talking to one of the ministers, and I said, did you know that there's a third world country in virtually every city in America? And they looked at me like, huh? And people who are below the line, people who struggle, people who have had setbacks, lost their jobs, can't get a job, aren't qualified for jobs. I mean, there's a whole community within every community, virtually of any size, that needs help. That they might as well be living in the middle of a jungle somewhere because they are a third world country within our society. And so it was a great learning experience for us also. It's quite humbling, actually, to be talking to these people who are potential leaders. And we recognize that there's no way we could reach them all unless someone of the ilk of Billy Graham would stand up there and say, listen to this boy. That would be the only way that we'd be able to get any context there. But it's the beginning. We started out way back in the early 90s. With the preparedness expos, and it was 97 before it before it became the thing to do, was to attend one of them in a certain in any city we went into. So it's a learning experience for us. It was a teaching experience for us, and hopefully, by the time we go back to their next semi-annual in January in Charlotte, North Carolina, we think by then we will have a more people will see us. We gave out food samples and water samples. They could taste the water as it came through our devices and stuff like that. And we had a lot of attention. Hopefully, when we go back, we won't be so weird. Some people walk by like, what are they doing there? What are they here for? We were giving away food, dehydrated and freeze-dried food samples. We couldn't cook. They wouldn't let us cook because there was a, what shall we call it? It was forbidden to sell anything that the vendors already had a contract for. So we couldn't heat up food and let them taste it hot. We could give away cold samples and stuff like that, but we couldn't heat up food. And of course, a hot dog was, you know, $7.50. It was like going to Chicago. Oh, I'm sorry. You live in Chicago, don't you? But it was as expensive as McCormick Place, if you can imagine, which is a fairly expensive place.
I can imagine.
But it was okay. I mean, the thing is, we had a lot of fun. I just mentioned that because I know you said you live in Chicago. Have to have a little fun. I love Chicago. I love that town. I love going there for shows. It is for a little boy from San Antonio, Texas. It's a big town. So I always
I can imagine.
But Atlanta was a big town too. It was a big opportunity. We were there in the whatever the big where the basketball games are played, which is a big deal, and the halls were humongous. And there were all kinds of stuff going on around us in the different halls. We just had one of them. There were five or six. We had just half of one. But it was a big deal, and we're anxious to go to the winter version, which will be held in Charlotte, I think on January 18th of next year. So we learned a lot. We were able, hopefully, to catch some people's attention. We gave away a lot of food. One of your sponsors, is it Patriot Supply, would be tickled to know that there's a lot of Go Foods there. The president and of Go Foods was there. Coach Carter is one of their vendors customers, and of course he was talking to people about using it. One of the neat, really neat things, if I can help your sponsor, is that the distinctive competence of GoFoods is that they sell servings four in a package. So instead of having a number 10 can or a 5 gallon bucket with hundreds or tens and twenties and thirties and forties and hundreds and thousands of servings in one package, they put four servings in a package, which means if you don't like it, it's you're not married, it's not divorce, it's just it was a date and you walk away from it, it's no big deal. So it was kind of interesting to watch, and they were giving away entire packets to people to take home and try, and I know they gave away thousands of packages to people to try, and hopefully. Next year, 6 months from now, when they reconvene, perhaps some of them will remember and come by and say, "Hey, I tried that. Wasn't so bad." That's what you generally. That wasn't so bad. Nobody ever says, "Wow, that was delicious." They say, "Well, that wasn't so bad," and we take that as a positive and move on. But it was tremendous to be able to give people a first shot, and people would tell me, I'm 55 years old. I never knew you could buy food in a bag like this. And I thought, you get coffee this way, especially in the hotels, and they have servings of coffee and servings of tea. I mean, and you can pick up things on even in cafeterias that you like oatmeal, instant grits, instant oatmeal, all those things at hotels, especially now that most of them serve a quick breakfast. What they have is stuff that's prepared, and they just warm it up, heat it up, pour some hot water or hot milk on it, and it's part of breakfast. I guess people just didn't see that you can have those things at home. Of course, the ones in the hotels are temporary. They're packed in. They're not packed for the last 25 years as GoFood was. So we had a great eye-opening experience with GoFoods, and I would tell people, if you're interested in having a supply system that is doable, because it's in small increments, get in touch with the guy that does your sponsoring, the Patriot Pantry, it's called, Patriot Pantry. They do GoFoods. The food is good. You don't have to become part of the multi-level marketing program to get it. And I was getting it. I was getting that food for 2 years. We have a lot of it in storage. I just brought it home occasionally. But now we've been eating it for the last 3-4 months, 2 or 3 meals a week. And that's the whole purpose of preparedness, is to get you used to things that you're going to deal with in the future. You know, the rule is store what you eat. Eat what you store, and use it or lose it. If you buy stuff and you find out you don't like it when it's too late, you're in deep mud, and you want to avoid that if possible. So I urge people to try things now, learn how to mix and match and fix and do a spread with with the products that you can get, and learn to like them. The ones you don't like, don't get any more. And those you do like, get a whole bunch more. So anyway, I think that's the important thing that we learned there, is that there are solutions, and really good if people will start working on it now. Don't wait until it's too late, is what we advise people. So that was our experience in Atlanta with the Southern Baptist Convention. It was really kind of fun getting to meet people. Now, then from there, we went up to, trying to watch the screen, see if anybody has questions. They're still on some other things right now, still cleaning up the last show, it looks like, which is okay. We do have an opportunity to, we had the opportunity to go up to Hickory, North Carolina, and get set up for the Self-Reliance Expo, which was over last weekend, a week ago. And the Self-Reliance Expo, or any show of this size, no show of this size had ever been east of the Mississippi, which was really kind of exciting because people coming as far away. We saw some people from New York. We saw some people from Florida. You know, it's an 8 or 10 or 12-hour drive. Well, we drove 22 to get there. We went to Atlanta, and then we drove up from there. So we were gone 2 weekends in a row, and that's why I wasn't on the last 2 weekends, is because we were in shows and closing down. And the noise, by the way, is it's so noisy that it's difficult to get on, even with noise-canceling equipment. It's hard to get on the air, especially with all the action that's going on. So I do apologize for missing, but I'll tell you why, and we were just overwhelmed trying to keep up with the traffic. But we went to the Self-Reliance Expo there. It was a good show, smaller, but larger than most of the gun shows. So it was really kind of fun to have people come in. Western North Carolina there's a lot of conservatism, and there's a lot of fear, and the cities aren't quite so large in the western part of the state as they are in the central part, where Raleigh, Durham, Greensboro, and Charlotte are located, and High Point. And it was interesting to go in a small town like Hickory. We found some really delightful places. The city has grown tremendously since I lived in North Carolina, which has been over 30 years now. But it was 40 years, did I say? And so it's interesting to see the changes that have taken place. And freeways going places, and you get places you could never get to before. And when you get there, they're a lot bigger than they were way back when. So it was interesting for me to return home as a Tar Heel, as a Carolina-born and Carolina-bred. One of those guys will be a Carolina dead. You know, it's just kind of, I am a North Carolina boy, a Tar Heel, as we're called, not a North Carolinian. But it's really fun to go back home, and I got to visit with family in that area and do some interesting stuff. But mostly getting ready for the show and doing the show was exciting because we were in a different part of the country. And not just because they talked funny differently. They have an accent that's really kind of interesting. We went in a restaurant, I appreciate this, and the gal said, do you want some hot sauce on that? And the guy said, and one of my friends said, what's white sauce? And I said, that's country gravy. It's because it's white with pepper and specks in it. He said, oh, I never heard it called white sauce. I said, well, it's just the accent. You just have to learn to live with it. And fortunately, having being from there from way back in my youth, obviously I was able to translate for him. Had a lot of fun doing it. And, of course, I made it up as I went. I tried to just have some fun with that. But we were delighted to be back. It's kind of gentle country. The people are very polite. Very laid back, not so panicky. I mean, they didn't seem to be panicky like some people. The next show that we'll be going to will be in Mesa, Arizona. That'll be the end of October. The date on that is the 26th, 27th, in the Mesa Convention Center there in the center of the city of Phoenix in Arizona, of course. So that's our next show. That'll be a Friday-Saturday venue. And then the next week we travel. We leave Mesa and we drive back eastward, opposite side of San Antonio. So we'll come through San. Well, we're going to have to come through San Antonio to pick up additional stuff, and then we go eastward back up to Springfield, Missouri. So we drive 24 hours that way, and then come back to home base, and then drive 16 hours the other way to do a show. So it's just, you know, it's just. That ends the season for us, and we can kind of hang our hat, you know, and take our shoes off and relax over the holidays until January 18th of next year. So that's kind of the end of the year. We're coming up with the end of the shows. So if you want to go to these places, Phoenix is a good place to go at that time of year. We just saw the beginning of the trees starting to turn beautiful colors as we were there at the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, however you want to call it, the Great Smokies. And then we drove south from there, caught the I-10. It was a great experience for us also because we were in preparedness to be able to see as we drove along the I-10, which is the highway from L.A., from coast to coast. It's one of the four major freeways that go east coast, west coast to east coast, or east coast to west coast. I think the 90, the 80, and the 40, and the 10 are the four, and the 10's the shortest. So it's really interesting to be able to get it. But we drove through what was hurricane country not a couple of weeks ago. By the time we got to New Orleans, we could see tremendous damage as we drove the freeway. Still signs blown over. Directional signs, instructional signs. We saw shingles. We saw repairs, glass blown out. The plastic over signs were gone, and all you see, the tubes were blown out too. And you just see parts, support pieces, and wires hanging. You thought, oh my goodness, would that have been? Glad I wasn't here for this excitement. And we drove across Lake Pontchartrain, which was probably 2 feet higher than it normally is. Which is, it's a huge, huge inland lake, and that is what generally floods New Orleans because it gets over the dikes. It's not the water coming in from the sea. It's the water stored in Lake Pontchartrain, which is a huge, is what they're diked against. And when that dike breaks, Lake Pontchartrain, fresh water, dirty water, but fresh water, and it flows all throughout the town. We didn't try to go into the, you know, we didn't try to do a scenic tour to see what was damaged. It was on a Sunday evening, and it was pretty busy. We were watching our P's and Q's because we were pulling a heavy trailer, and we didn't know where to go, what to do, so we kind of stayed away from it. We'd just been there, what, 6-8 weeks ago for a two-day show, or one-day show, along the levee there, and it had changed because we didn't see any of those trees. Literally, whole stands of trees in certain spots would have no leaves. It looked like some kind of desolation. Even among apartment projects, you see trees, all the leaves, all the needles blown off the trees. They're just naked trees. Where I'm assuming they're going to come back next spring, maybe even some, probably not now, but next spring they should come back. But it was pretty frightening to see what people had to sit through or be there through when that big windstorm or hurricane pushed through. So it gave us an idea of how nice it is to live in there and not be threatened by hurricanes, even though we live on what would be called the Gulf Coast. We're some 100 miles away, And I tell people when Corpus Christi is getting his butt kicked by weather, we don't even get rain clouds, which is terrible because we're not getting out of the drought. So it was interesting, and even came home to some wind things here where trees had fallen again in my yard, and I haven't gotten to clean them up yet. So you never know when you're in harm's way. You never know when danger can. We're not in charge of the weather, and it seems to be the most dynamic force and the one against which you really have the least amount of preparedness, except for dealing with it after it's over. So anyway, I wanted to just kind of report that, tell people what's going on, and so they could get an idea of what we do. If anyone has questions now, of those who are in the chat room, I'd love to answer questions, or if we have callers, do call in. I think I can give you the number. It's 347-324-3704. Give it to you again. 347-324-3704. So if you have any questions or interest in preparedness, being prepared or getting even better prepared, I'd certainly love to share some information with you. Answer your questions if you can. If not, I'll find them and get back to you.
Do you want to your commercial break now? And
yeah, it'd be a good time. Let's do
come
that.
Back maybe.
And maybe some people. Yeah.
Well, you know, your dear friend, Brother Larry, he's got his hand up. You want to take that call now or wait till after we take the commercial break?
Why don't we do the break and then we can do it? Or, yeah,
and
let's
have
do
plenty
the break
time,
now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, not a problem. And you're listening to the Dr. Prepper Hour right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Stay tuned, guys, and we'll be right back. If we can just get things to working.
I understand.
I'm pressing buttons here and
nothing's responding. I've been there, done that.
And
it wasn't any fun.
Nothing's doing anything. You know, it looks like the commercial is playing. I had this issue for a moment on my program. So, and then all of a sudden it caught up, but Well, I don't know. So if I can't play,
we can go on. Let's
wonder if I can bring Brother Larry on.
Well, let's do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He always has something interesting to say. Larry, are you ready?
Okay, that's.
Is that button not working either?
No, we can't unmute him. Give me a second. I'm trying to work things out,
sure.
Doc.
No problem.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
There's a saying that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. Well, they should include hard drive failure as well. You can ensure your data is safe by using Maximum Archive's online backup solution. By securely backing up the Maximum Archive servers, your data is protected from fire, theft, or simple hard disk failure. Don't let your data go unprotected. Sign up for Maximum Archive today. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout time and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hey, cruise on over to the Whiskey A Go-Go, Freedomizer's late night comedy show on Wednesday nights from 10:30 to midnight Pacific time. Hosted by me, Val Volano, and my co-host, Crazy Mars. We are seeking talent in comedy and music. The music we are looking for is classic rock, acid rock, hard rock, rap, pop, and blues. In comedy, we want any and all comedy skits, whether you call in live or submit by MP3. Be as creative as you want. Please submit your work at our fan page on Facebook at The Whiskey A Go-Go. So come, lift your spirits and get away from all the doom and gloom. Warning, it's raw, it's dangerous, and we will be at our best at making fun of you. No PC allowed. I'm stalking you. You never know who and when I will swoop on the air, unless you're there. So that's Wednesday night, 10:30 to midnight Pacific time, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Whiskey A Go-Go! Whoa, put the brakes on. Did you catch all that? Too much coffee. Freedomizer is so addicting.
When we open our minds to the incredible, unlimited universe, we become participants in the active flow and infinite energy of life. We begin to live a much larger experience. We become free. In the magical universe, there are no coincidences and there are no accidents. You are here. You found Freedomizer Radio. See, the power in you is about sharing the light of who you are, exploring different points of view, different perspectives on topics for better health for your mind and your body. Join Miss Cookie and me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. and Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific time and grow the light of who you are right here at Freedomizer Radio.
Hey guys, tune into the Heated Conversation hosted by me, Vicky. UFOs, GMOs, and chemtrails, oh my. We talk about anything and everything as long as it's hot. So call in and join the discussion live Thursday nights, 10:30 to midnight, and Friday nights, 9 to midnight Pacific. Only on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio. We're freedomizers. Freedomize freedom.
And now welcome back to the Dr. Prepper Cooking Hour with your host, James Talbot Stevens.
Or maybe we should get back into that.
I'm sorry, back
that
in
might
the
be interesting. Is that we're going to have to say, what is Dr. Prepper cooking up? Might be a better name for the show.
What is Dr. Prepper
anyway,
got cooking?
Yeah, what's he got cooking? Or what's he been cooking in the last few weeks? Sometimes it sounds like there's some lethal vapors coming off of whatever I'm doing because I sound sometimes a little weird, but that's okay. I have some really wondrous experiences every week working with people who are trying to become prepared or get better prepared. And I like to relate them and share them with others because apparently we really need to get excited about preparedness, personal preparedness, whether it be for food, clothing, shelter, or for the eventuality of where life is going. I leave that to each person to decide where that is and what it means to them. But I really believe it's important that we need that people need to find a way to level their lives and to get them under control so they can choose what's most important. And sometimes that takes a lot of education. People say, well, I'm doing what's important. Perhaps, perhaps not. I don't know for them. I only know for me that I've spent some 40 years, 39 years, okay, I'll be truth in advertising here, 39 years plus of striving to help people come prepared. At the show, by the way, we did sell the 800,000th book. We sold out of all of our books. So now we're down to where we are at. Only have our digital versions. I don't know when the book will be reprinted. It takes about $50,000 to $60,000 bucks of cash to print books, to have them on hand. I have to decide for me whether it's worth that kind of investment, given the economic, political, fiscal, moral, and attitudinal things that are existing in the world today, whether I want to put $50,000 of my hard-earned money into books which people may or may not choose to buy if things go further south than they are already. And that's the kind of, you know, that's an economic decision I have to make. Spiritually, I should do it. On the other hand, I too have to look out for my family and be prepared to deal with the worst case scenario. So right now we do have the digital version. We've sold over 10,000 of the CD-ROM, and we've done almost that many downloads. I think what I'll do, if anyone has an interest, there may be a couple of books left over in the shipping office. I don't work there. My wife runs that. But I know that we sold all the cases that we had with us, and that was the last that we cleaned out the warehouse to take those to the show. Went to two shows, so they're gone. There may be a couple or so in the mail order department, but after that, they're gone. But I'm going to reduce the cost of the CD-ROM, since it's not a book, but it has everything the book has in it, plus a whole lot more stuff, like 9,000 more pages of information about preparedness than's in the book. So it subsidizes the book greatly with information. Or the download has the same thing. It doesn't all download at once. The book downloads, and then you can access digitally the rest of the information and download it onto your site or onto your the memory of your email or whatever it is you have, your storage. So both are good. I'm going to drop those. Anyone who will place an order if they'll go to. I'll have to do that. I can't do it till Monday. I don't do that. I have someone do it. But we'll reduce the price $10 on the download and $5 on the CD-ROM, and that'll give people a great discount. Because I don't. As my apology for not having the book. I know the book is great. In today's world, it seems like digital is the way everybody wants digital. And I'm able to provide that for them. So we're going to do that next week. If you send me an email at doc@drprepper.com, I will tell you how to bypass the ordering system, which doesn't give you that discount. I'll send you information on how you can do that and get the product. $10 off, so it'll be $29.95 for the download, which is the book. It's instant. There's no freight on it, so it comes out instantly, and with access to the other 9,000 pages and a lot of other bonuses. And then you'll be able to get the CD-ROM for $19.95, plus I think it's somewhere around $3.75 shipping. We'll get it out to you first-class mail. You'll have it in just a couple of days, and that'll be just $19.95. So $20 plus $3.75 at $24 bucks net. That'll save you $5 and $10 on the download if you because you're here listening. I realize this morning we're doing inventory out of books, and so this will be my offer to those of you listening to the Freedomizer show. So just call me at, or send me an email at doc, D-O-C, at drprepper.com. freedomizer.com. Tell me you heard about it on Freedomizer and you want the deal, and I'll send you instructions on how to. You cannot do that on the makingthebestofbasics.com website because that hasn't been created yet. So I'll know that you know about the deal because you'll contact me as no one else does. Doc@drprepper.com. Money off and get it now. We're going into the season. As the frost hits the pumpkin, kids are back in school. People begin to realize the days are shorter, the nights are longer, they're cooler, colder, gardens go away, and we're in the dark of winter, and the reality that we may not be prepared seems to become a high priority. So this would be a great time to get copies and at reduced prices just for you people on the Freedomizer channel. So did what's his name show up yet? Larry, is he on?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Larry, are you there?
Brother Larry? Okay, well, I don't know. I turn him on.
Oh, he's always turned on. Never seen anybody like. He always has questions. Yeah. We talk about him. Since he can't respond, we can talk about him.
Oh, no, we're not going to do that. We love Brother Larry, you know. He's a good guy. But, you know, I don't know what's going on with the studio today, Doc. Maybe you just have to continue to wing it, you know.
I can do that. Just get disconnected from the board. That makes it really tough, and I don't know how to get into it, so I can't subsidize you there. Well, the interesting thing is that preparedness is still a major issue, still a major need, and I think people who, as they look around, recognize that we're not in control anymore. We've sneaked pretty well through most of the hurricane season. We still have October, well, the rest of September, October, November. It dies just before Christmas. It kind of goes away because the cool settles in and the turbulence goes away. Generally, even though a hurricane or typhoon can stir up most any time, the season kind of runs from what I call Father's Day to Christmas. And that's the time you kind of worry about it. Then it goes away for a season and comes back again next Father's Day. So far we've been lucky. Worst things were forecast and which happened. And then some threatened and didn't happen. Fortunately, they went away. But they're still forming, and there's still a possibility we could be victimized again. But having seen with my own eyes the destruction, and not from the camera of some bright-eyed weather forecaster or weather person or a news person, I could see that, first of all, it's spotty. It doesn't necessarily roll over an area and wipe everything out in its path. Those things do happen. But this hurricane seemed to be fairly selective in what it did and where it went. But to see the damage, the whole stands, acres and acres of trees just totally stripped bare, as if it had been burned through and all the foliage was gone. It was an eerie sight and a little scary besides. And we saw that over 50, 60 miles. But for hundreds of miles along I-10, because it parallels the Gulf Coast, it's just always a few miles south of you. It's amazing. And we saw many seaports. There were damages of all kinds. And to realize you're going through the heartland of America, where a great part of the population lives, where a good part of some of our poverty areas are. And it was interesting to see the problems that were created by the weather. And so we tell people there are only three ways. There are only three things that really threaten you in terms, three types of disasters that threaten you. The worst case scenario are usually the natural disasters because we have no control of them. We cannot fight their fury. They are what they are, and we just don't have the means except to get away from it, to get below it, to get underground, or to get in a safe place. We can do that. but we can't stop the turbulence. We can just deal with it. And that's really what preparedness is about, being able to deal with what comes. I've always told people, you know, you fear for the worst, you pray for the best, but in the end, you have to deal with what you get. And that is why preparedness is a big issue. We need to know how to protect ourselves from these natural disasters. There are two kinds of natural disasters. There are the weather-related ones, which are, I guess you would call them, wind and rain and freezing and snow and hail and cold weather and windy weather. All those are weather-related things. But there are other geological ones that threaten us, too. Tsunamis, which result from a geological fault slip in somewhere in the ocean. And then you have another kind of geological fault called an earthquake. And then you have other kinds of things that happen over which we have no control. They are geological in nature. So given that, they are the worst kinds because we have no defense against them. We can't really predict them until they're virtually upon us. And then we're not even sure when we have all the facts. So the second kind, of course, are the man-caused ones. And those result from what man has built. For example, if a dike fails, that's not necessarily a natural disaster. That's a man-caused one because it didn't build the dike big enough or high enough or strong enough, whatever. Other kinds of things, of course, are wars. Nuclear plants exploding are man-caused because man built them. The double jeopardy comes like in Fukushima, where you have not only a tsunami which wipes across the land, destroying all in its path, but it destroys also man's feeble attempts to provide for himself, even though they've been fairly good. They're still feeble compared to natural disasters, where a nuclear plant is wiped out, and then we have to suffer. We suffer from the indignity of it not being built well enough or strong enough or in the right place. I never understood why they build them down by the ocean where they're always in danger. They should build on top of some mountains, but that's another issue, I guess. So then the third kind, of course, are the personal disasters. Generally speaking, by the way, man-caused disasters include closing of plants, downsizing, going out of business, the law, wars, and those kinds of things are man-caused. The third kind, of course, are the personal ones in which the trickle-down effect from, if you will, or the pour-down, whichever you want to call it, when nature erupts on us, it causes things that hurt us individually, then it's a personal disaster is caused by a natural disaster. If you're laid off from your work, that's a man-caused disaster, which affects you personally. So you have to get them in juxtaposition and understand where the threat is coming from in order to learn how to deal with it. So those are important. And then what do you deal with? The most important thing for people to have is good shelter. Now, I know the WAGs. By the way, somebody asked me what WAG meant, and I'm going to tell you that it's not a kind word I use, and I don't mean to do it. I don't do it half-heartedly. A WAG is what I call people who are the wrong agenda group. What that means is they've got the picture wrong, so obviously they're giving the wrong answers. A lot of them, there are a lot of people who've gone out and made up things. They've taken good information off the internet, copied it, pasted it, and then given different conclusions, or they've added their own interpretation to it without any experience. For example, the list of 100 of the things going to be disappear first from the marketplace if the poop hits the propeller. Family show, so we'll use kind words. The poop hits the propeller. When that happens, there's a list floating around, and it resurges every once in a while, of the top 100 things that will disappear. And in that list are some interesting things like buttons and pins and needles and whatever else, which are really important, I guess, in the scheme of things. But if you're properly prepared, I wouldn't worry about spending my money on those kinds of things. You can go through most any home, any apartment in America and find, you know, this, needles and thread and buttons and stuff like that, because most of us, when we lose them, we look for them or we find them and we put them someplace to hold on to them, and almost all of us have a spool of thread and a needle. I'm not worried about that so much as I'm having food and clothing, warm clothing, clothing for hot weather. But my shelter is first, because in my shelter, I have a place to put my preps to save them from the worst things that can happen if I've done it right. And it's a resource to me to be able to find the stuff I need and to live, because that's most important. I can put my water. I have a place for my water, for my food, and for my clothing. I have a safe place to stay. I have a safe place to get away from the weather or from the bill collector, whatever you need to get away from. You have a place. It's yours. And it's a place where you want to have a safe haven, a place where your family feels safe. And normally a home will have a place for your sanitation, for your warmth, and for your cooking. You may need to find alternative ways to do all that, but basically the shelter is the place where those provisions are put. Without a shelter, in very cold weather, you don't have a very long life. You could freeze to death long before you get thirsty. On the other hand, if you live in a place that's too hot, you could have a sunstroke long before you needed some of your extra clothing or maybe even your food. So then after you have your when you get your shelter, by the way, it's a nice place to put your medication, because if you take medication like I do and you miss your medication, you're a grumpy old man, or you may be a dead young woman because of some condition, whatever. The shelter is a place, it's a repository for your stuff that you spent good money, anxious money, and very, what shall we say, money that might level your ability to do some social things, but it allows you to have a safe place for you and your family. That is primordial, in my opinion. And then after you get your medication, now understand, if you have a great shelter with your mama and you don't have to worry about it, fine. Just wipe it off the list. And if you have water and food and toilets and a place to cook your food and all that kind of stuff, take it off your list. But those are the things you have to list first if you want to know where to start. Then you worry about water, and then you worry about food, and then you worry about some of the other kinds of things. The last thing I'm buying is guns. Does that say I don't have a gun? Don't think you're going to walk into my place and take my stuff without a fight. But I've been doing this 39 years. I have a right to spend some money, and I have an opportunity to spend some money because I've got stuff to eat and keep me alive. If I get shot, it won't matter about any of that other stuff. It won't be my problem. I'll be somewhere else, and it won't matter. But I hopefully have prepared things for also my family, extended family, and friends, because nobody can make it by themselves. And so I've made that provision also. Remember, preparedness is a community. Now, whether your community is your immediate family, an extended family, a church group, an office group, the people around the cooler, a sports group, whatever, those are people with whom you would be able to share the opportunity to gather the expensive stuff that you might need, like grinders and mixers and other kinds of product, and maybe generators and other kinds of things where one of you can't buy it, one of you can't buy everything, but several of you together can buy several things because of pooling your resources. Those are things you need to think about, and that is important, I think, for all of us, that we become prepared to the extent we can afford it. And that extent is based on our dedication to the concept that life is worth living, and it's important to us to protect our family. So those are the things I see important, and it's a really important thing for us, I think, to plan in advance. That's what preparedness is all about. It comes from the French word pre, meaning before, pare, meaning to cut. You cut it before it cuts you, actually. And so getting prepared is something you do, and again, my book will help you do that. It helps you determine your priorities. You don't have to buy the book. There are many of them out there. There are many ways. There are many sites. Unfortunately, the FEMA, the Department of Homeless Community, and all the other American Red Cross do not give you very much detail. You need a lot more than that, and you need guidance in making those decisions and for the quantities and where to find it and how to find it and when to find it. Those are important things for all of you to do. And if you've done it, fine. Pat yourself on the back and take on some other priority. But for those of you who haven't, now is the time. It's never too late. You have to start sometime. By the way, I was listening to someone saying that there was something going around the show there were some guys wearing T-shirts. I won't say who they were. But it said, if you're not always prepared, you're never prepared. And I read that, and I mean, I'm telling you, a big question mark came on my mind. Well, what's prepared? Well, what's prepared for me is totally different from what's prepared for you. We all have different needs, abilities, capabilities, talents, skills, and finances, resources. So I stopped on him in the aisle and said, tell me what you mean by if you're not always prepared, you're never prepared. What does that really mean? And the guy said, well, duh. That's about how far you got, duh. I said, I think that's a misstatement. It can be true in some cases, and it's a great saying, but it's meaningless because what is always prepared? Minister, if you had, for example, a year's supply of food and you ate one meal out of it, you no longer have a year's supply of food. You're now down to 364 and two-thirds of a year, aren't you? So now you're never prepared? I mean, that doesn't make sense, does it? And when I gave him that example,
But you're still prepared for those.
That's right. So I'm always prepared. I mean, so I wanted to argue with him, but I'm not an argumentative person. But I do ask questions, and I think he walked away kind of stumped because it's incongruous in today's world that always and never are two things that are really hard to slam into somebody's skull. You know, it's just not fair because some people may not want to live. We all do. We're all survivalists. We all want to survive. And I told the guy, I told some of the preachers, you know, people will kill to stay alive. They get desperate. They're not going to let their kids starve. Maybe you could be part of helping them get prepared, not just, what's the word, faith, from a faith point of view, but also have faith in the fact that they can do something now so that they're not totally wiped out when something happens, whether it's economic, fiscal, governmental, anything else that can happen. There's so many things that can roll over us. So that was my experience. That's my take on it. That's how I see it. And I wish everyone would become better prepared because it'll be worth it. What was it somebody said? Now, Jesus never said this, but people attribute to him. Says, I didn't say it would be easy, but I said it'd be worth it. And even though that's a great attribution, even though it's not perhaps something I can't find in the scriptures. If you find it, let me know. I've always wanted to be able to quote that. But I've seen several pictures of the Lord with that statement underneath it, and I've always wondered where it was found. So not having found it, I'm going to believe that it's a great attribute and not a reality of what he said. He may have said it. I don't think he was quoted on it. But that is true. You know, it may, you know, I can't tell you how good it's going to be if you're ready when others aren't. I can't tell you how important it'll be in terms of saving other people's lives, not to mention your own children, your wife, your extended family. That could be so important. And so that's why I come on this show. We should be talking about cooking. Maybe we ought to talk about it. I've talked about rice, and I've talked about a lot of other products that you can cook easily and do it with the least amount of heat and stuff like that. And maybe we ought to get back on that. But this show is kind of gone, and we didn't get any callers, but we did get some interest. I hope, hopefully, from the chat room, we can see people are listening, and I hope that everyone will take the time that's left. And I have no clue what's good or bad about the forthcoming elections. I'm not a political. I have my feelings. I try not to get into those things on the air because it's all emotion. We're not. You were talking about prophesying, and people were discussing prophecy and prophesying in the chat room as I came on, as you recall. And all that's true, and I can't prophesy the future, except I can always tell you that food's a bargain today. Tomorrow, it'll be less of a bargain, and the week after, it'll be less of a bargain because it'll take more and more money to buy less and less food. So food is important. Everybody eats, So it might be important for those of you to come up with a plan for your personal food storage. Remember, food storage is not just gathering food. It's assembling the things that would make it possible for you to continue to protect your family in the style to which they are accustomed. Well, our time is up. I thank you for listening to me this afternoon. I am Dr. Prepper. You can catch me at the Preparedness Radio Network, .com, and here on Saturdays at 4 o'clock Central Time. Thanks for the privilege of being here. Thank you, Minister, for helping get me through this hour, and appreciate you and what you do, and hopefully, as far as I know, I will see you next week.
To God be the glory. The Lord's will. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
You've
Have
been listening to The Dr. Prepper Show with number one best-selling preparedness author James Talmadge Stevens. Each week, Dr. Prepper brings you useful and timely information on how to prepare for an uncertain future. In times like these, it pays to be prepared. Questions or comments? Contact Dr. Prepper through his website at drprepper.com. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Preparedness Radio Network. And remember, preparedness saves lives.